Hi, coaches. A client of mine, Dan Levin, reached out to me recently and asked me a question about love because of a comment I had written in a Facebook group for coaches that I run. And I thought, why don't we record something so it would be useful for other people? Now, it was not meant to originally be part of this course, but the recording, and because of the questions that Dan asked, which were really fantastic, it's turned into a really beautiful video. And Mark and I had a conversation, and we thought it would be a really great addition to our course. And you know, we talked about re-recording it ourselves, but we felt that as it was, and the questions that Dan asked, it was really great. So we're adding this. So without further ado, please check out this recording that Dan and I did called Loving Your Clients.
Okay, looks like we're recording. All right, everybody. I'm Dan Levin, if you don't know me. I'm a coach. I work mostly with entrepreneurs, executives, other ambitious professionals. And I'm here today with Ankush Jain. Ankush has been my coach for about 8 months, and he is a guy who has had a really profound impact on me, on my personal life, my business life. And the topic we're going to talk about today is loving your clients. And he's a guy that's, you know, been having a big impact on that topic for me as well, which is the topic of how do you love more. So a great guy to be talking to about this today. I don't know if you had anything else to add to that.
Well, I just want to say thank you, Dan, and I want to acknowledge you for asking me the question. I know that you don't bring you know, just any old questions. You really think about the things you're asking, and you're very sincere. And that's why I'm so glad you asked me, and I'm glad we're recording this, because I know it's something good's going to come out of it.
Yeah. So I thought a good jumping off place might be just a little bit of context and background of how this interview actually came to be, right? Which is, you asked a question in your Facebook group, Coaching from the Three Principles Understanding. And the question was, what makes a good coach? And I want to read some of the other answers that came up, right? So here were some of the answers. Presence, good coaches have an effortless approach, clear thinking, they love coaching, the coach's ability to provide the space for a client to allow their own answers to rise. The coach is a good listener, they have ability to listen and hear what the client is saying, they have a service mindset, they're curious, they're solution oriented, all really good answers, you know, things that maybe I kind of have heard before or expected. And then I want to read what your answer was. You know, all those answers came in, and then you came in, you know, after there. And here was your answer. My current answer to this is simply love. The more I've fallen in love with my clients, the deeper I'm finding the impact of my calls, and the more I enjoy this profession, which I already quite enjoyed. Yeah, love is the answer. So I heard that, and I thought, what the fuck? Yeah, okay. So that really hit me, and I messaged you right after I saw that. I said, what do you mean by this? What exactly does loving your clients more mean? How do you do it? Et cetera, et cetera. And you said, well, you want to interview me on it? I said, yeah, let's do it. So that's why we got here. So I want to dive into all of that, but before we do, I thought maybe we could start with, love is a really loaded word, right? And so what does that word, when you say the word love, what does that mean for you in this context?
You know what? It's funny that we're even recording this conversation, because I remember when I first heard the word love brought up in the context of coaching, and you know, client creation and that sort of stuff, I was like, what? it wasn't something I resonated with. I was like, you know, that's spiritual or romantic, or, you know, we don't bring that word into business, and certainly not coaching. You know, I felt like there should be a professional gap, almost like a therapist or a doctor between me and my clients. And so it's amusing, kind of almost like full circle, you know, several years later, here I am talking about this topic. But to answer your question, for me, love is simply a feeling, right? There's been books written on the topic and poems and wars started and whatever on various types of love. And, you know, there's all these definitions of love, but really it's this feeling in this context that I have for my clients. And anyone that feels that knows exactly what it is. And I believe that if I ask most coaches, do you love your clients? And anyone can ask themselves this question right now and really be honest with yourself. They know, they would have an answer to that. They would know, they would, well, what's your definition of love? And then I'll answer it, right? We kind of know. And when I started out in this profession, I cared about my clients, but I would never have said I loved them. I didn't feel that for them. I didn't think it was necessary. I didn't even think it would be helpful. But I do feel it now. And it's been a journey to get there. And probably really it's been a simultaneous journey or a parallel journey with more deeply loving myself. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, I have more questions, but maybe like I would love to hear more about the journey itself, because I imagine you didn't come out of the coaching womb saying love is the answer, right? As you're kind of alluding to. What has that journey looked like, you know, across the however many years it was, and I'm sure still ongoing, right? But for somebody that maybe is kind of where you're talking about, I wouldn't even talk about love. That's not even a thing I might think about clients, right? Even for myself, probably a year ago, I would say that would have been a much more uncomfortable idea, or at least one that I wouldn't have been thinking about at all. And I think a lot of our conversations and, you know, much of the work I'm doing has opened that up. But I would just be curious what that journey looked like. Were there specific resources, specific people along the way? Like how did that come to be?
Well, the person I first heard really talk about love in coaching was a gentleman called Steve Hardison, who's an infamous coach from America, from Arizona. And he was talking about a few of his clients, and I felt like this guy's laying it on thick, you know, like he was really talking about loving his clients. And my first thought was to judge him for that. But as I was listening to him, another thought came up, which was, if this guy really believes what he's saying, If everything he says is true, if it's really true for him, and at the time to work with him for a year was, I think, $150,000. So he's one of the, you know, more. I don't want to say expensive, but yeah, he charges a lot, and now that's increased. That fee's gone up. But I thought to myself, I can see why people pay him $150,000. And it wasn't because I had a spare $150,000 lying around. In that moment, it made sense. I didn't really have a plan after hearing that to go, okay, now I'm going to go and model Steve Hardison and I'm going to copy him. I just carried on my own journey. Both my kind of business growth and learning around that, and you know, service-based selling, if you like, you might call it on the business side. But also, as any good coach does, I carried on my own personal development, my own personal journey. And it was almost kind of like I was noticing it after the fact, you know, a year later. So I met Steve for the very first time in 2014. And it was like a year later, I reflected back and I was like, yeah, how I'm with clients is really different. There is more love. There's a deeper relationship that I have. And then, you know, a little while later, maybe another year or two later, right, I kind of reflect again. And I notice, oh no, it's deeper again. Right? That it was almost like it was a natural side effect of my own development as a coach and my own personal journey. So it wasn't like I even set out for this as a goal. It was almost like as I became a more prosperous and effective coach, it was like I couldn't not love my clients, right? It was like it had to happen. And that's why I say it's been a parallel journey of loving myself and seeing past my own ego and blind spots.
Why do you say so? Why do you say it had to happen as you?
So I think, you know, there's a saying that we can only give away what we have. Mm. And so what I see is that as I carried on my own personal development, my own personal journey, and for me, a really, you know, the major piece of that has been, you know, work with what's called the three principles. That has really helped me see past my blind spots, past my ego, past my misunderstandings, beliefs that I didn't see were beliefs. I thought they were facts. As I've carried on down that journey, you know, my ego's fallen away. Long-held beliefs have dropped. My entire personality has shifted, some would say. And so what that resulted in was me being a happier person, right? More comfortable with myself, more loving of myself, right? Because I used to be very insecure, even though I spent most of my 20s, well, all of my 20s in kind of the personal development space. And I decided to become a coach when I hit 30. I was still quite insecure, really deep down when I was 30. And yet, so these kind of last, you know, 8-9 years has been really diving deep into that work and, you know, seeing, and I don't mean this in an arrogant way, but kind of falling in love with myself or seeing how great I am. And I don't mean that in an egoistic way. It's because everyone's great. I got to see that, the universal greatness in me, I should say. And so when you see that, you can't help but love people, right? And I see this with anyone that I really look up to, you know, people who have gone on their own path. It doesn't necessarily mean to be, you know, my path, but they are, as they, you know, it's the parallel, as they love themselves, they love others. You don't find someone who truly loves themselves. Yeah, the people who say, oh, they love themselves, but that's not love. That's kind of false, you know. It's ego. But you won't find someone who really loves themselves who's not loving of other people. It can't be.
Yeah, I think I just want to echo what you said, which is a big thing for me, which is you can only give away what you have. And, you know, I'm still kind of early days in what that means, and the idea of really getting into self-love. And, you know, I can have a really, really intense inner critic. You know, a high achiever type can be a high achiever type A type. And I've had this this inner critic as many people might be able to relate to, right? And really seeing that you know, to be able to embrace myself more, you know, until that happens, the love for others is going to be difficult. So yeah, I really resonate with that. So how does somebody go about loving their clients more? Right? So you said it's a feeling. You know, for me, I think it's a feeling, but you know, I was having this conversation with my wife and I said, oh, love is a verb, right? There's this thing out there, love is a verb. And so there's an expressing of it that I think is required, right? It's like there's an activeness in it, at least for me. So does it look that way to you? Is it just, I just have a feeling? Is it, you know, how do you actually bring this into action if somebody says, okay, yeah, I want to learn to love my clients more, anybody more. What might that actually look like?
That's a great question. And again, I think it's going to be for all of us, it's going to be a journey, right? Because I know for me at the beginning, it was like, it was still very conditional, right? I'll love my clients as long as they pay me. Mm. Right, as long as we're working together and this is good for me and my business, right? And then if they're gone, you know, I'm exaggerating, but it was like, okay, you're dead to me now, right? I'm on to the next thing. And that maybe was a hangover of the corporate world, you know, where I used to work in. And you know, it was kind of shifting that to the start of it was, what is in the best interest of the client? What is going to really be beneficial to them? And that might be not to work with me. That might be to go and do something else. It might be for me to refer them to someone else. It might be, you know, any myriad of things that on the surface might look like going against my short-term benefit. Right. But it's just that it's really putting, like we do, would with a child or any loved one, we would really put their interests front and center. Mm. You know, another thing I can think of is so many times in the early days, I wouldn't say things to clients because I thought I might offend them. And I didn't want to offend them because I thought if I offend them, then I'll lose the client. And part of that journey for me was being willing to offend them. And again, I don't say any of this as a technique or a strategy, right? Like, because someone could say, all right, be willing to offend my clients. Hey, you're an asshole. No, it's not that. It's not just saying things provocatively. Mm. It's basically not saying it.
Yeah.
Right. So there would be times when I could see a client, you know, demonstrating behaviors that were not conducive to what they said they wanted to do or to wanted to create. And I would just let it slide. And I realized that's not what they're paying me for. That's not what's going to really help them. And if I really loved the person, I would be willing to say that, even if it meant they disliked me for it. Even if it meant they said, you know, there was a risk that would turn around and say, I don't want to work with you again. So love isn't just this soft, gentle thing. It isn't buying flowers for your clients and telling them how amazing they are. You know, just in the same way as loving your child isn't just letting them watch TV and eat what you guys would call candies or we'd call sweets, right? Loving goes beyond that. Loving means being willing to be disliked at times.
Is there a practice to love? right? Or is this something in your mind that just happens? By which I mean, or do you have a practice? This might be, cultivating a feeling before you get on a call with a client, or cultivating a feeling, or before you go see your wife and kid. I don't know. Is there actually in your mind kind of a practical aspect to how you generate this feeling?
You know, I can only talk about myself. I can't talk about, this is the right way, or this is the only way, or even if this is the best way. This has just been my way. And for me, this is going beyond practice. Right. So there are practical things people can do. But to me, it goes deeper than that. I was having a conversation with someone today, brainstorming how to bring out the best in some of my clients on an online retreat that I'm running. And I realized it wasn't about the good ideas. That wasn't what was going to do the heavy lifting. It was really where I was coming from. Right? Now, some people hear me say the word slow down and they'll think, okay, that's a doing. I've got to do slowing down. But for me, it's not necessarily about doing. It's not about doing a practice or doing slowing down or meditate so you slow down. It's again, more of this side effect. It's more of like when it's embodied in us, in me. Which has been happening for me over several years. And as I slow down, as a side effect of dropping my misunderstandings, my false beliefs, my thinking that wasn't really true, I do slow down. And as I slow down, I tap back into that feeling. I've got a little boy who just over 1 year old. And I see in him, he constantly reverts back to love. Like that's his default state, right? It doesn't matter if he doesn't get his way with us and he cries. Every morning, that's it. He's excited to see me, right? Every evening when he comes back from nursery, he's excited to see me. He's just this pure bundle of love. And we were all like that as kids. We all had that loving energy, that loving feeling. And so it's just been sometimes glossed over and hidden, but it's still there. And so it's just kind of tapping back to that. And as well, the thought occurs to me that this isn't just in one area. This is across the board. I don't think, especially as coaches, that we can be loving towards our clients and be jerks towards our spouses, right? Or be loving towards our clients if we're not having that great relationship with our children and as parents. So whilst, yes, there are different, people might define different kinds of love, I guess the question is to ask ourselves is how are we showing up in all of our relationships? I want to do a little plug, right? So I recorded a podcast a few years ago called The Relationship Series, and I forget about it, right? And my coach will sometimes remind me about, like, hey, you did that series, send it to your client or whoever, to wake them up to how understanding how our mind works more deeply impacts our relationships.
You said something to me once in a conversation. We were talking and something to the effect of the best thing that you could do for your business would be to love your wife more. And that really hit me, and I think that relates to what you're saying right now. But I've taken that to heart, and the more I've started to look in that direction, and slow down, the more things seem to open up. And the more that I can see, you know, I guess to me, love can look more like a, I don't know if it's a practice, but, you know, I really think of how do I express it and how do I bring it into the world. And so whether it's my wife, whether it's my son, whether it's clients, working that muscle, if you will, you know, intentionally working that muscle has been really helpful for me and has really started opening a lot of things up, I think, on a kind of business front. So, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. So, you know, there's a couple maybe distinctions that I want to get into a little bit, right? So the idea of service, right, with coaches, that's a big concept, you know, buzzword maybe even. We should be serving the service. Love is not one that I at least have heard as much. You know, we're having this conversation, we've talked a bit about it, but I don't think as an idea, it's out there as much. I'm curious what in your mind is the difference between these two, loving your clients and serving your clients? Is there a difference? Are they the same thing? Curious to hear your thoughts.
Well, for me, one thing that really helped me in my business was when I realized the greatest service flows from love. Right? That was a game changer for me because beforehand I'd kind of heard love talked about in spiritual circles and spiritual aspects. So there was kind of all this talk over here. This was like the love conversation. Mm. And then there was this business conversation, which was about service and client creation. But they were totally separate. There were different conversations. And funnily enough, love was the connection. The when I saw that from love flows service, the deepest service, the greatest service, right? And so, you know, you talked about your wife. It's like, what would really serve your wife? Well, that flows from loving her, right? What serves our clients? That flows from us loving them. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like what's before service, what's service built on?
Yeah.
What's the foundation of true service? Yeah. Because for years I was doing service, but it was, like I said, it was still conditional. It wasn't really founded on really loving the client. It was kind of like, well, I'm going to deliver really good customer service, but it was skin deep, it was shallow.
And
what was interesting is when I switched to seeing this, that it really is love, sometimes I was able to be even more direct to clients in proposals around us working together, but it was where I was coming from. You know, I've had clients sign up for certain things with me simply because I've told them to, right? Which sounds crazy, you know? But it's because they knew where I was coming from. They could feel it. It's, again, that feeling.
Yeah.
And they knew that I had their best interests at heart. And also, having a client's best interests at heart means being willing to say, you know, maybe we're complete, and you know, I think you going in a different direction would best serve you,
mm-hmm.
right? Or someone else would be better to work with you, or you don't need me. You know, I had someone speak to me recently, and they said, hey, I'm looking for a coach. And, you know, you're right up there, have so much respect for you. Let's have a conversation. And we spoke, and I said, so what would you like to get from the coaching? And she didn't know. She didn't know what to get. She was like, I don't know, but I feel like I should always have a coach, and I really like you, and I rate you highly. And I said, that's great. I really respect that. But what can I help you with? And the reason I'm asking that is because I cared about her, right? I didn't want to take her money, you know, for now. I said, look, if you want to pay for just talking to me. Okay, but let's get clear on that, right? And in the end, you know, we didn't work together.
Yeah.
Now, I could have gone in and like, yeah, this is how we work. This is a proposal and let's just do it. But that wouldn't really be loving the client. It wouldn't really be the greatest service to the client.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is not a trick. You can't like, hey, I don't really care about the money. You know, I really love you. And are you going to pay me?
Yeah.
People feel that. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. I really love this. I love what a couple of things I picked up was the idea that love is the precursor to true service. I think that's really powerful, you know, and I think, you know, to me, it's my son is the ultimate example. It's like, you know, I'm in service to him all the time. Out of love, right? I don't have to do service. It's just like, I'm going to take care of him because I love him and I'm going to do what's best for him. And even when that's against my self-interest, which often it is, I don't want to do X, Y, Z. I don't want to wake up in the morning, right? And, you know, that's the other thing I kind of hear you saying is in the example you gave, it, you know, on the surface, to not work with somebody that might be giving you money, right, would possibly be against your self-interest, right? But the idea that you know, true love and service out of that goes beyond our own self-interest. So I love that, and I also really, you know, resonate. And I think a lot of certainly new coaches would resonate with the idea of I'm doing service, right? And you know, I think you and I have even had these kind of conversations. It's like there's the idea, I'm going to serve this client so hard and so good, right? And, but, you know, if that's not actually coming from a place of love, then it's, you know, probably coming from a place of self-interest. I think clients, you know, not clients, people have we have radars for that, right? It's like beyond words. People can just sense, are you really coming from love, or are you coming from a service that's actually buried in kind of self-interest and neediness and such. So yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's always it's like the analogy of the used car salesman, right? You go to buy a car, and before the person's opened their mouth, you get to feel like, are they here to just schmarmy sales tactics to get me to buy something, or are they genuinely, you know, wanting to help me?
Yeah.
You know, and we just get an energy, we get a vibe from people, and you know, in a way, it's almost a sad thing to say, but I feel like if any coach listening to this, if you really love your clients, if you really do, that's a huge USP. And it's sad that it's a USP in some ways, but it really is, because, you know, I've found very few people who really love their clients. And there are some great coaches out there who do. But I think part of the reason that so many coaches struggle, part of the reason I struggled when I started out in this profession, is because I didn't understand that. You know, I was more in a sales mentality. How do I sell? How do I find clients? How do I get people to sign up and pay me? As opposed to really, how can I really serve this person? How can I really love this person? Really love them as if they were my own brother or sister or parent or child, you know, or best friend.
Yeah. I think that's a great segue into maybe the last question I have here, and then we can do some wrap up. But you know, the idea that if you look at some of the greatest coaches out there, also the most well-paid coaches out there, they really get this love component. They're really deep on this. So, you know, my last question is really around that, the love versus money component, right? which, you know, might sound something like, well, if I really love this client, then if they can't afford it, then I should just serve them anyways, or I should reduce my prices. That's the loving thing to do, right? It's not loving to charge somebody $100,000 and then only a handful of people can, you know, benefit from me. That kind of idea. So I would love to hear your thoughts on how you think about, you know, this idea of love versus money, and especially, you know, charging higher and higher rates, let's say.
You know, this might be a little controversial, but I had really unhelpful thinking around money, a lot of really unhelpful thinking around money. And one of the things that I found in my exploration around money was money is just energy, right? Like it's a concept, of value, right? It's a way to replace barter. But ultimately, it's energy. It's a representation of a certain amount of energy, you know, because it's very inefficient to say, well, how many goats does an iMac buy, right? It's like, and how do you compare a haircut to renting a car? You know, so money has been created to facilitate that interaction, those transactions. But again, it boils down to energy. And that's what love boils down to. And so what I was able to really see was, you know, love and money are also the same thing, which sounds very controversial, you know. And I'm not talking about greed. I'm not talking about loving money and thinking money is going to give you something. It won't. But in the same way, you know, money isn't evil. Money is completely neutral. And what I've come to realize, I did this in the past. I remember I really cared for someone who was a colleague, and I saw her struggling. And this is several years ago. I said, I will give you pro bono coaching, which at the time people were paying me thousands of pounds for, but I really wanted to help her. And it was a train wreck, you know. She didn't do any of the tasks that we were discussing, that, you know, we'd agreed that she would do. She made no progress whatsoever, and I was really confused because all my other clients were making progress, and this client was the only one. And I realized it was because she had no skin in the game. She hadn't invested. Right. She hadn't put in, like, okay, I'm putting in this much energy, this money, which is representation of energy. And I'm not saying it's the only thing, but it's a really big thing from what I've seen. Yeah. And, you know, I remember my coach telling me, he said, you know, the best thing for your prospective client, the best thing they can do is pay you. Mm. And that, I hadn't seen that for a long time. For me, it was almost like when people paid me, I was taking something from them. I was taking their money. I was, you know, there's like, I felt guilty about it. And I realized that's just made up. And so part of this journey, you asked me about my journey, part of my journey around love has been seeing money differently. Because one of the things that I see now, and you know, you've paid me a lot of money for us to work together, that enables me to spend a lot of time with you. It enables us to do really deep work. And I often say this to coaches, look, if you're doing one-on-one coaching, or your coaching practice is you know, significant one-on-one coaching, there's a limited number of clients you can work with anyway, 10, 15, you know, 20 max. I mean, there is a physical limit to that if you're doing one-on-one coaching. So, for me, money is just, again, one way to kind of filter that, because, you know, if I reduce my fees to what they were when I started, I would be inundated. I'm still really busy. I'm probably too busy still at the moment. And so again, there's that love of, myself as well. You know, there's a saying, you know, put on your own mask before you fit others. you know, on an aeroplane, you know, the oxygen mask. And so part of my, now we're talking about fees, but my fees setup is to manage my workload, right? If my fees are too low, I'm just too busy. And, you know, one of the things that I ensure that I do is that if I do speak to someone and they can't afford my fees, but they're really sincere, there are loads of ways to help them, that person, right? There are resources to recommend. There are other coaches that I can recommend. There are some really good coaches that I can recommend to people who don't charge what I charge. And so again, this is where, this doesn't mean it's true for everyone. For me, it was where my ego was very sneaky on me, where I felt like I had to help every person. It was my job. And I was overestimating my own importance.
So anything, you know, we can probably start wrapping up here a little bit, but anything on your end that you think would be helpful to put out there that we haven't covered yet around loving your clients?
It would simply be this. It's I hope from this conversation people wake up to just how important this topic is. Because like you, when you read out those answers, I read those answers too. And I didn't ask the loaded question, right? Like I didn't know what my answer was going to be. And it's when I slow down to stop and think about the question, I realize, no, this is the most important thing. Like this is it. This is really what my clients are paying me for. They might not articulate it in that way, but this is what it is. And what I hope is that coaches who listen into this can hear that and hear a little bit of depth behind my words, hear the feeling of where they're coming from, that this is it. This is what this profession is really about, right? This is not about helping someone feel a little bit better. Like to me, I love this profession. I love coaching. And the reason I love it is because the impact that we can have on someone's life isn't a little impact. I mean, it is phenomenal impact. It is mind-blowing impact. It is, oh my God, that's a different person now impact.
Yeah.
Right? And that impact stems from this thing that we're talking about called love. Right? I cannot be tentative and not loving and expect to have the same level of transformation or same level of impact on a client compared to when I'm loving them.
Yeah, beautiful. And I'll say, I think for me, the biggest thing that I'm really taking away from today is the idea that love is the precursor for true service. That to me is such a powerful idea or realization. And I appreciate your time today, my friend. Where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
So my website is ankushjain.co.uk. That's ankushjain.co.uk. And you can email me, you can contact me on Facebook or Twitter or anything via that landing page.
Beautiful. All right, my friend, thank you so much for joining me today and talking about loving your clients. Hopefully people will get a lot out of this, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks a lot, Dan. Really appreciate it.